The clock is ticking and still no deal on the federal debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Congressional Republicans are heading to the White House today for a meeting on the nation's debt ceiling. Yesterday, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly defeated a bill that would have raised the national credit limit with no spending cuts attached. The Treasury Department says Congress has until August 2nd to reach a deal or the nation will default. Well, the man leading the bipartisan negotiations is Vice President Joe Biden, and we're going to talk now with his former chief economist, Jared Bernstein, who left that job in April to join the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Jared Bernstein, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, I want to ask you, how do you expect this debt ceiling thing to play out?
I expect the negotiators to resolve the debt ceiling, that is to increase it sooner than later. I get that there's a big scrum going on around this, of course, but ultimately the imperative of doing the right thing for not just our economy, but for the global economy, I'm optimistic that that will prevail. But sooner the better, man.
Do you think that if we do get a deal on the debt ceiling soon, it's going to come along with big budget cuts that are big enough to put the economic recovery at risk?
I certainly hope not. One of the most important things is that you don't enact the kinds of measures like aggressive spending cuts in the very near term that could offset a recovery that's still pretty nascent, that's still really trying to reach escape velocity.
Until recently, you were right in the middle of the economic power circle as the chief economist to the vice president. Why did you leave that job?
I was frustrated not with what was going on inside the White House. It's the debate going on outside the White House that I have found really very misleading. Lots of assertions and claims made that are factually upside down. The notion that you can aggressively cut spending in the near term and that won't hurt the economy, or that if you raise anyone's taxes at any time, any amount, that will crash the economy, or that you can privatize or voucherize a guaranteed medical security and somehow that how people will be better off. So one of the things that I hope to do on the outside is help explain on a factual basis how things could work better.
Jared Bernstein, former chief economist for the vice president, now with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, it would have been unthinkable just a few years ago, but the Pentagon has signed a contract to buy Russian helicopters. The choppers were designed specifically for the Soviet war in Afghanistan in the 1980s, as Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
The deal for 21 helicopters for the Afghan army is worth $375 million. Although there was opposition from both the U.S. defense sector and Congress, the deal is a no-brainer for Russia. Military expert Alexander Goltz, the deputy editor of the Yezhdnevny Journal online newspaper, says Afghan pilots already know the Mi-17 helicopters.
It's much easier to deal with them than with American or Italian helicopters or with any other.
But the clincher? The price. Russian helicopters are cheaper than U.S. or European rivals.
It's a good deal for the Pentagon and for Russia as well, I think.
Certainly, Russia is happy. A top Kremlin aide says so. And although U.S. soldiers aren't going to be firing Kalashnikovs or flying MiG fighters anytime soon, Goltz says Washington's need to re-equip its new allies in Afghanistan and Iraq mean there could be more such deals in the future. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. Shanghai is up a fraction of a percent. London is down a fraction of a percent. We'll get a couple of private reports later today about the job market here in the U.S. That'll give economists a sense of what employers did in May ahead of Friday's big jobs report from the Labor Department. On Wall Street, yesterday the Dow jumped 128 points to close at 12,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day on the web at manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Twitter is on a buying and building binge. Yesterday, it bought an internet advertising company called AdGrok, and it launched what it's calling a follow button that lets you follow bloggers and websites without ever going to the Twitter site. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports now on the big boom going on in the Twitterverse.
In the race to dominate social media, Twitter is running a distant second to Facebook.
Twitter needs to really fire up its engines.
Deborah Aho Williamson is an analyst at eMarketer. She says to catch Facebook, Twitter needs to build revenue and expand its audience. AdGrok should help Twitter automate its advertising sales, and the new follow button may attract new users.
I anticipate other things coming down the pike.
Rumors are flying that Twitter is about to launch its own photo sharing app. Photos are a Facebook favorite. But if Twitter makes this move, a dozen independent apps like Instagram and TwitPix could be forced out of business. Charlene Lee is a founding partner at the Altimeter Group.
But if you create something that's a runaway hit and it begins getting traction, becomes, quote, mainstream, then it's very likely that Twitter will copy it.
Lee says if it's not careful, Twitter could end up scaring away developers and investors capable of creating its next generation of killer ideas. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, to New York City, where a woman is suing Chanel. She went into the luxury retailer's 57th Street store and tried on a $10,000 diamond ring, but couldn't get it off her finger. She ended up spending several hours in the emergency room where doctors were finally able to remove the ring without cutting it. And something tells me that woman had a team of Chanel security in the waiting room just to make sure that the operation went smoothly. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Tobacco use in the military is higher than the national average, but with the obvious health risks, why are prices kept so low for service members?
If you just look at the things that smoking decreases, it decreases a military member's fitness, decreases fine motor coordination, stamina, even decreases wound healing.
I'm Tess Vigeland. A look at the bargain-priced tobacco sold to troops next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.